Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. So in the news a lot lately, stuff about gun control. We had this horrific shooting in Texas, I believe. And every single time we have a shooting like this in the United States, the people, the specific political leaning, or maybe just other people in general, come out to the streets and shout and cry that we need to have more gun control. Now, I don't want to sit here and get into the minutia myself. What I would like to do is refer all of you, regardless of what your position is on guns, gun ownership, the Second Amendment, gun control, to just for a moment set your preconceived notions and your biases aside and listen to one of my favorite economists of all time, Thomas Sowell, because I can promise you that Thomas Sowell has done way more research than I will ever do. He has forgotten more about gun control and gun control laws than I will ever know, or the mainstream media will ever know, or any of these people that are arguing for or against gun control will ever know. So let's get into it and hear the facts, the details, the substance behind the argument, so we can come to a more educated conclusion, regardless of what that conclusion may be. This is an article 9 years ago, but really it's pretty much the same argument. And I believe I first read this in Basic Economics, I think it was Thomas Sowell's book. He's talked about this quite often. But I think I first read his argument back in Basic Economics, I believe. So this was just after another one of these school shootings, and everyone's out there chanting and protesting that we need to take away everyone's gun. So the usual argument that you hear and that I've seen on social media is where they put up like the UK, and they say, oh my gosh, look, they have all these gun control laws and you don't have any of these school shootings there. Or, oh, they have all these gun control laws in Australia and look at how low the murder rate is there. And that is the extent of the analysis. Very similar to the video that we did today contrasting Kevin O'Leary and Lynn Alden. Kevin O'Leary is basically the mainstream media, regardless of whether they're talking about finance or economics or gun control. And Lynn Alden is an example of Thomas Sowell, where you're coming at this with substance, data, facts, charts, empirical evidence. And one of the things that I find fascinating about the gun control debate is it really shows the error that can be made through statistics if you don't dig beneath the surface, if you don't get into the nuance, if you don't really think this through, if you just take these bumper stickers that you see on social media, and that is how you build your argument, you're going to be wrong more than not if that's your approach. And this gun control debate, I think, really illustrates that. So again, at surface level, it would seem obvious. Well, yeah, of course, we've got to have smart gun control laws, just like the UK and Australia, because we want our murder rate to be like theirs. But then you start peeling back the layers of the onion. And let's go through Thomas Sowell walking us through this thought experiment, or the actual data and facts, I should say. Places and times with strongest gun control laws have often been places and times with high murder rates. So Washington, D.C. is a classic example. So what he's doing here is he's not just taking the U.S. against the U.K. He's saying, okay, well, let's look at specific areas of the United States, because we should assume that the United States is culturally more homogenous than, let's say, the UK and the US, or Australia and the US. When it comes to the rate of gun ownership, it is higher in rural areas than in urban areas, but yet the murder rate is higher in urban areas. So if more guns equal more murder, then it should be the opposite within the same city or even within the same state. But his conclusion, and what you'll see, is that when you really sift through all of the data, it's more about people. It's about culture, not really so much about guns. But let's keep going. The rate of gun ownership is higher among whites than among blacks. but the murder rate is higher among blacks. For the country as a whole, handgun ownership doubled in the late 20th century, while the murder rate went down. So these are the statistics that you don't ever hear. Why? Because they don't come to the same conclusion. They don't push the same narrative. And because you're dealing with nuance. And for some reason, every society nowadays hates nuance, or they just want to cherry pick the bumper sticker facts that help them push the narrative that makes them feel better at the end of the day. The few counterexamples offered by gun control zealots do not stand up under scrutiny, Thomas Sowell says. Perhaps their strongest talking point is that Britain has stronger gun control laws than the United States and lower murder rates. And now they're doing that with the UK. They're bringing that up with Australia, New Zealand, all these places. But if you look back through history, you'll find that Britain has had lower murder rate than the United States for more than two centuries. So you see what he's saying here? He says, guys, you can't just look at the statistics today. You have to go back and look at the trend. And this is the exact same thing when you're looking at affirmative action. You can see maybe some slight improvement there, let's just say in the 1970s. But if you look at the trend, the improvements were there and the improvements were happening at a faster pace prior to those laws going in existence. So you can't say that those laws created the benefits. You could only say those laws hampered the benefits that were being gained prior to the laws going to in effect in the first place. And same thing here with gun control laws. And Thomas Sowell helps us get over this hurdle to reading the statistics and coming to the wrong conclusion. So again, if you go back and look at Britain, you'll see that they have always had lower murder rates than the United States, even when both countries had pretty much zero gun control laws. So you can't say that now, all of a sudden, the correlation has a causal effect, because that correlation was there prior to the law being in place. Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist Show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. In the middle of the 20th century, you could buy a shotgun in London with no questions asked. New York, which had at the time the stringent Sullivan law restricting gun ownership since 1911, still had several times the gun murder rate of London, as well as several times the London murder rate with other weapons. So the conclusion here, well, one of the conclusions, neither guns nor gun control was the reason for the difference in murder rate. People were the difference. In Britain, and this same thing applies to Australia as far as reading the statistics and why, if you just see some, you know, some automaton, that robot, I get that word from Tom Woods, but some automaton on social media just regurgitating this drivel that, oh, well, Australia has gun control laws and a lower murder rate. Therefore, if we had gun control laws, we would have a lower murder rate. Again, confusing correlation and causation. But if you go back to Australia or back in time to Australia, you'll see it's the exact same thing. They had the lower murder rates even prior to the gun control laws. So in Britain, such people have been so successful that legal gun ownership has been reduced almost to the vanishing point. While even most convicted felons in Britain are not put behind bars, the crime rate, including the rate of crimes committed with guns, is far higher in Britain now than it was back in the days when there were fewer restrictions on Britons buying firearms. In 1954, there were only a dozen armed robberies in London. But by the 1990s, after decades of ever-tightening gun ownership restrictions, there were more than 100 times as many armed robberies. And another thing you'll see, I don't know if he addresses it in this article, but I remember reading it in one of his books, that it's just a cost-benefit analysis. It's a give and take. So even if you do see murder rates go down slightly, you're going to see petty crime go up. You might see murders from guns go down, but you'll see murders from knives and stabbings go up. So gun control zealots' choice for Britain compared to the United States has been wholly tendentious. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Not only because it ignored history of the two countries, but also ignored other countries with stronger gun control laws than the United States, such as Russia, Brazil, Mexico. All of these countries have higher murder rates. You could compare other sets of countries and get similar results. Gun ownership has been three times as high in Switzerland as in Germany, but the Swiss have had lower murder rates. So let me read that again, guys. Gun ownership in Switzerland, three times higher than Germany, but Swiss have a lower murder rate. And I believe that the gun ownership in Switzerland is even higher than the United States, yet they have a lower murder rate than Australia and the UK. I believe at least the UK. So the bottom line here is that the mistake people are making that argue for gun control, and then the politicians do this intentionally, like Trudeau, we're going to get to him in a moment, is they purposely cherry pick data and they purposely conflate correlation and causation. But if you dig into the data, you see that these gun control, they don't do anything. They don't have any benefit. When you look at an absolute cost benefit analysis and you look at the trends prior to these laws being in place, you see that there really isn't a benefit at all to these types of laws. It's just we have different people in the United States. And I would argue we have some people in the United States that are predisposed to these horrific crimes. But it's not because we have guns. It's because for some reason we have people who are messed up in the head. And that's not a gun issue, that's a mental issue. And we could go down that path all day long. But just taking away the guns, statistically speaking, empirically speaking, is not going to make the matter better. In most cases, it's going to make it worse. So now I was looking at another article that I thought from Thomas Sowell. This is pretty much the end of this one. So what also isn't included in these statistics is how many lives are saved by people owning guns. And at first glance, I thought, oh yeah, right. When someone shoots the shooter, and I think we saw a story of this the other day in Nashville or something like that, where a lady was armed and she actually shot the crazy person that was about to shoot other people. But that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about are how many lives are saved where there isn't a shooting, where someone comes up to the person, maybe an armed or a potential armed robbery, and the person has a gun and just points it at the dude, the bad guy. Doesn't pull the trigger. So we never see that statistic show up. But yet that is a potential crime that never took place as a result of someone just showing the gun, not necessarily pulling the trigger. And again, I wanted to point that out because I thought that was a fantastic example as to how you can't just look at the statistics at surface level. You've got to get into the nuance. And once you do, you see that this is really not too much of a debate. It's only an emotional debate. It's not really a debate with empirical data. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism. And I cannot suggest reading Thomas Sowell anymore. Not just about gun control, but about economics, the global elite. He's written books on this. The best, I think, is Intellectuals in Society, going back to Woodrow Wilson and past presidents of the United States and the intelligentsia, as he calls them. When you read that book and you look at today, what we're seeing today through that lens with the World Economic Forum, the UN, the Davos types, the IMF, you see what's happening so much clearer. And it's a game changer. It really is. So check out Thomas Sowell. All of his books are amazing, but I would start with Basic Economics and Intellectuals in Society. We'll see you in the next video.